Amen. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever. Amen. He's not blessed because I bless him. I bless him because I'm blessed. Amen. Turn to Genesis 1:1, please. First book of Moses, Genesis chapter number 1, verse 1. This was written 3,400 years ago. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Father, bless this holy word now. Give me wisdom in Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. What you just read here in the book of Genesis 1:1, the creation of the earth. God is the creator. He created everything. And there is not one thing that exists that God didn't create, because he's the source of all life. And everything came from him. But he calls your attention here in verse number 2, the earth was without form and void. The Hebrew there is tohu va-bohu. That means completely devoid of any shape, form. It was just a kind of a looked like a dark mass in the heavens that God created the earth. And then, of course, he gave it shape. And the Lord is the one who gave that to the earth and created it. Now, before the flood, with the Old Testament and the book of Genesis, before the flood, there was a canopy over this earth, canopy that covered it. And the scripture says that there was a mist that came up from the earth, and it watered the earth, but there was no rain. The first rain was when God prophesied to Noah to build an ark. And he built the ark, and then it rained for 40 days and for 40 nights. People had never seen rain before. So obviously there was no cloud structure apparently floating over here in this movement of the cycle that we have today of the clouds and the air that goes up and forms the clouds and the constant cycle and recycling and so forth. It didn't happen then. It was a moderate climate all over the earth. This is why that you find in the Antarctica, you can find tropical plants buried beneath that ice shelf. There's no way in the world that could have grown in the earth as it is now. There was an earth that then was, that Peter talks about. There was something different about the world then. Now we have four seasons now, and these four seasons are dependent upon an axis of the earth. It's 23.5 degrees. The earth does not stand up directly. It's 23.5 degrees. And because of that, it gives us the seasons of the year. The earth is spinning, and it gives us the seasons. And we have in the northern hemisphere, summertime. In the southern hemisphere, wintertime. At the same time of the year. And obviously that would be that way because the northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere are separate. Tornadoes and hurricanes spin counterclockwise in the northern hemisphere. In the southern hemisphere, hurricanes, tornadoes spin clockwise. It means that there is a definite line of demarcation that separates the two hemispheres from each other. George Dodwell was an Australian astronomer. He lived from 1879 to 1963. He was a Christian. He loved the Lord. And he was well qualified to do what he did. He started looking at the ecliptic. He started measuring things. He started getting deep into the actual movement of the earth as it related to the stars and to the sun. And he came up with this conclusion, that 2,345 B.C., something profound happened to this earth to put it on that 23.5 degree axis. Something happened. We know what it was, the flood. The flood literally changed the axis of the earth. And when it did, of course, seed time and harvest, the four seasons, were introduced. Before the flood, man could not eat meat. After the flood, he ate meat. And before the curse, man ate the fruit from above the ground. But once the curse came upon man when he sinned against God, then he literally ate of the dirt. Literally, He'll eat of it. So he's literally eating dirt, eating what comes out of the ground. There's a lot of progression that takes place in the book of Genesis. And it's a remarkable study in itself to look at this. But I'm calling your attention to something that this man discovered 2,345 B.C., which is the general date of Noah's flood. 4,000 B.C., Archbishop Usher tells us that the earth was created. We're 2,080. That's about 6,000 years that the earth has been here. Now, there is an odd thing, and I want to try my best to explain what's going on here. There's an odd thing that takes place on this earth. You know that one spin of the earth is a 24 hours, okay? That's one day. All right, if the earth were at 23.5 degrees and spun on a perfect axis... axis, if it spun on a perfect vertical axis, then nothing would change as far as the relationship of the stars to the earth, but it doesn't. It wobbles. And it takes it 25,000 and something years to make one wobble. It takes it one day to make one turn. Now, this wobble is what we call the precession of the equinoxes. No man's lived long enough to observe this, but they have determined that this is what's happening because the stars change position in the heavens ever so slowly. And what we have here is that the earth is turning back against the stars, but it's spinning in the other direction for the day. So it's spinning in two different directions. All right, and it's not spinning in two different directions. It's spinning in one direction, but as it spins, it wobbles. Now, how many follow me? Have I got you completely confused? All right. Now, the precession of the equinox is a very important thing because it shows us how that the North Star has changed over time. The North Star, when the pyramid in Egypt, the Great Pyramid, the Pyramid of Cheops was built, there's a shaft in there that was pointing to the North Star. But the North Star that it pointed to then is not the North Star of today. And we know then, therefore, that it has changed. And it has changed down through time because of the wobbling of the earth. Now, there's a Christian astronomer by the name of Jeffrey Williams. Jeff Williams. He has a video on YouTube. It's 48 minutes long. And the title of this is The Work of His Hands. This man spent more time in space than any other human being. No one else has been up there as long as he. He videoed and photographed this earth. And he shows you this work on the work of his hands. I would highly recommend to log on to YouTube, play that back, and you'll see the video and the photographs that he took of this earth. And Jeff Williams is a Christian. He loves the Lord. And so therefore he's giving you the benefit of this, and he also adds scripture in with it as he shows the glory of God and the creation of the universe and of this earth. I would like to have been right by his side when all this was happening. Amen. I mean, when he stuck his head out, I'd stick mine out. I'd like to see. I would love to be up there and be able to look down and see this earth. I will one day. When the heavens roll back like a scroll, and we come with our Lord Jesus Christ, we'll come in power and great glory, and He'll lead the armies of heaven, and He'll be on a white horse, and He comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you're born again tonight, you'll be coming with Him. Whether you're premillennial, amillennial, pre-trib, mid-trib, makes no difference. Matters not what your eschatology is. If you're born again, you're coming with Him. Amen. And you'll want to. Make no mistake about that. Now, I don't know how far back we go. I don't know how recent, how current the new rage about the flat earth. I don't know when all this started, but it hadn't been long. It hadn't been long. I've been here 43 years. I've been in the ministry a long time, folks. I've talked to a lot of preachers, a lot of missionaries, a lot of people in 43 years. And all of this about the flat earth is a recent thing. Recent. Now, the flat earth is believed by Christians, and I would not get up here tonight and tell you that if you believe in a flat earth that you're not saved. I wouldn't say that to you. I said at the very beginning when I started talking about the flat earth, a lot of people, they're good people and they love the Lord, and they believe in a flat earth. And I never attacked any of them personally, and I'm not going to do that. You've got a right if you believe the earth is made out of cheese, okay? Whatever you want to believe, that's up to you. We can, you know, our fellowship with each other is not based upon the shape of the earth. Our fellowship with each other is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the Son of God. That's who we fellowship about the Son of God. Therefore, if you are saved, if you're a born-again believer, then we can fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's an issue going on with people who believe in the flat earth. I want to give you some of the biblical texts that they use to try to prove the shape of the earth. Job chapter number 38, verse 4, if you'd like to turn there with me. It says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof?" The cornerstone, of course, has to do with the pyramid. It has to be the top stone on top of that. Or not necessarily a pyramid, but a building with a top stone. And our Lord Jesus Christ is called the chief cornerstone in the book of Peter. So then verse number 7, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Now, one of the things that you understand when you study the Bible is that you have to be able to make a difference in understanding between something that is speaking figuratively and something that's literal. You've got to understand that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 11. It's very important to understand this, comparing Scripture with Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 11. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Is he the foundation of the church? Absolutely. No question about that. He is the foundation of the church. Are you standing on him? No, you're not standing on Christ. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. You're not standing on him. So what does that mean? It's used in a symbolic sense. It's figurative of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is what the church is built upon. We're built upon the Son of God. If you destroy Christ and anything that has to do with his identity, we crumble fast. I mean, we'll crumble like a vacuum. And this is what liberal so-called Christians try to do, is to attack the deity of the Son of God and destroy him. He is our foundation. But notice how the Scripture uses the word foundation in the sense that he represents what we are built upon. Now, when you go back at Job and look at it where it uses, "I laid the foundations of the earth." Then it says in verse 6, "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened?" What's that mean, preacher? That means that God laid what makes us what we are in this world. What makes the world what it is. He upholds the world. It is His. He created it. He made it. And so the foundations of the earth have to do with all of the pronouncements, all of the judgments, all the things that the earth has that as it relates to God. Every bit of that. And there's a lot involved in it, because Job has a lot to say about it. The foundations of the earth are in God. They're in Him. Because He upholds all things by the word of His power. Is He upholding the earth? Of course He is. Is He upholding all the planets? Of course He is. Who's the foundation then? The Lord God is. So, our brethren, and I call them brethren, because I certainly believe that many of them are good people and they love the Lord. They don't agree with us on that scripture. That's one of the scriptures that they use to teach that the earth is flat. Because with them, the foundations of the earth are laid in a sense that where the earth is sitting down and it is flat, and somebody has taken a line and measured the earth. Now in Isaiah chapter number 11 and verse number 12, read this with me. This is important. Isaiah 11, verse number 12. "And he shall set up an ensign of the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." All right. Now, how do you have four corners? You have four corners. If we have this, it has four corners, right? This is a rectangle. Here are four corners. That's easy enough to understand. Notice carefully. Now, of course, if you have a flat earth with four corners on it, you got no problem, right? See how that figures? We'll keep reading. Revelation chapter number 7 and verse 1. "After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. There's another reference. These folks use these references to teach that we have a flat earth that has four corners. Revelation 20, verse 7. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. All right. Now we're going to have to deal with another issue here. And that's the one found in Isaiah chapter number 40, verse 22. Turn there with me and let's read this tonight. This is important. It's got to work out right if we're going to take a position on it. Isaiah 40, verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. All right. Now, wait a minute. The earth has four corners. Would you please tell me where you start your corner on a circle? So you get in trouble here. And this is just one place. There are many. And for the sake of time, we're not going to get into all that. You say, well, they say the earth is flat and it is a disc. Okay? All right? If you say the earth is flat and the earth is a disc, it's obvious that you're using four corners. How? Not in a literal sense, but in a symbolic sense to cover everything. Four corners means it's all covered. East, west, north, south, it's all covered. That's what it means. The four corners of the earth. But if you say the earth is a disc, then you're going to have to accept the fact that four corners is symbolic. See what I mean? You got to be careful, though, when you take a position where you absolutely and dogmatically state, well, if you don't believe this, you're not a believer. Yes, I am a believer. And it offends me to my soul for somebody to tell me, because I don't believe in a flat earth, that I'm not a believer. That's ridiculous, folks. And here's the problem with this. It's beginning to manifest a spirit. There's a spirit involved here. I don't tell them they're unbelievers. I've never accused the people that believe in a flat earth as being an unbeliever or godless, or call them a pig or something like that. I'm not going to do that, because our fellowship is with the Son. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. We have to make our own mind up about what we believe. Maybe you're sitting in here tonight, or you're watching this thing, and you believe in a flat earth. So what do you do then, preacher? You believe in a flat earth. I would suggest that you do some serious praying, that you'll get on YouTube and you'll watch Jeffrey Williams, that I told you about a moment ago, the work of his hands. Give it a view. You'll be amazed at this earth, at what you see. This, what he shows, is not some, what do they call that thing? GPI? What is it? CGI made in some lab somewhere. These are actual photographs of an actual earth. You can even see the deserts. And one photograph in particular that I thought was quite remarkable. Here are two airplanes flying at about flight level, about 35,000 feet, 38,000 feet. And you can see them spots. There are spots down below, and you can see the stream behind them. And here they are flying underneath. That's one of those things, you know, when you see something like that, you think, good night, they're up there, aren't they? Yes, they are. They're up there. Now, think about this for a moment. Have you ever seen a photograph of where the earth comes between the sun and the moon? You ever seen that? That's quite a thing. What do you see on the moon? It's round, folks. It's round. So what are you seeing? What shadow are you seeing? You're seeing the earth. You're seeing the earth projected onto the moon because of the sun behind the earth. You follow me tonight? Now, like I say, there are many. That's just a couple that I wanted to bring out to you and mention to you. And I don't know if you've made your mind up yet. I don't know if you're struggling with this or not. I'll pray for you. I certainly will. I have a hard time. I would have an extremely hard time saying, Jeff Williams, you're a liar. I would. This guy's a colonel. He's a retired colonel. I think he's in the Air Force. I'd have a hard time looking him in the eye and say, "You're a liar." And that's what you're doing when you deny what he did. You judge everything by the fruit. Haven't I said that before? Time and again. You judge a tree by the fruit it bears. Right? I was told this morning about this globalism and about COVID-19 and all of that. And it's such a shame that the first 10-15 minutes of that was lost completely. And we didn't even get a good recording of it. I believe that Satan didn't want that out. Amen. I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He's got something to do with electricity. If you've ever been shocked, you'll believe it and count on right there. You judge a tree by the fruit it bears. Here's my observation. Not all, but from a lot of people in the flat earth division. They set one against another. They say, "We're the divider." I say to you, we've been here for 43 years. You came in. You're the one dividing. You came in. You caused the division. You're starting to turn people against each other. They have contention. They like to argue. They like to argue. There's a spirit attached with this. They have a mean, judgmental spirit. One of the ladies in our church was called a pig. Called her a pig. Because they didn't agree with each other. Alright? So therefore we have contention. We have division. We have mean, judgmental spirit. Not from all of them. But from some of them. And this is not what God meant to be. Listen carefully now. As a pastor. Because I'm a pastor. I'm an ordained minister. I didn't show up out of nowhere and all of a sudden I become a master and a teacher of everybody else. I've been here a long time. People know me. They know my life. They know how I live. And I have a burden and a responsibility as a minister of the gospel. I would say this to anybody that believes in the flat earth. You're welcome at Temple. You are. I'm not telling you not to come to Temple Baptist Church. You're welcome. You're welcome. If you believe the moon's made out of cheese, you're welcome. You're welcome at Temple Baptist Church. Here's the problem. This is the issue. It's when you come into a church and you begin to divide people and sow discord among people and separate people. That's when I come into it. Because these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination to Him. And included with murderers is he that soweth discord among the brethren. And these people have the audacity to say that we're the ones sowing discord. And we're the unbeliever because we don't agree with them. That's arrogance, folks. Because the scriptures that I used tonight, and I only used a few of them. Did you see anything that I read to you tonight that would establish you in believing the earth is flat? No. The Bible does not say the earth is either round or flat. But Isaiah in 40, verse number 22, is talking about a circle. And you can spend a little time into that circle and you'll find out that it has more to do with a sphere, a globe, than it does with a disc. And see, that's what we're dealing with tonight. You agree or you don't agree? You're welcome. You're welcome to come. I'll say that one more time. You are welcome to come to Temple Baptist Church if you believe in a flat earth. Just don't try to evangelize people and turn people against each other. Now, I'll finish by saying this. You know, we had a great awakening in this country. God gave us a revival like you wouldn't believe. I mean, it was a revival meeting. Not one single flat earther was in the preaching. They were all preachers that believed in a round earth. Every last one of them. Every missionary that I've ever known since I've been here at Temple, and I've known a bunch of them that have gone to the mission field, not a one of them believed in a flat earth. The evangelists that have come through here, not a single one believed in a flat earth. So I suggest tonight, if you have the courage of your convictions and you really believe that the only way that you're going to be able to minister and be true and faithful to God is to preach flat earth, then go start you a flat earth church. And don't just start it. Put a sign out in the front to tell people so they'll know when they come in. We believe in a flat earth. Or you could say the first flat earth church of Knoxville, Tennessee. Or however you want to do it. I'm not joking with you. I'm telling you. You want to go into the churches and you want to go set people against each other and you want to create confusion, and that's what it's done. I've been here a long time and I've watched this thing now. Good people that I love are getting sucked off into this thing because people are turning people against each other. That's not the Spirit of God. That's not the Holy Ghost. That's not the Holy Spirit. And it's a shame. I thought I'd seen everything. I haven't seen anything. This latest flat earth deal, I marvel at it. You know, I want to be careful what I say, but I'll tell you right now, folks, if you believe in a flat earth, these people out here are laughing their head off at you. They are laughing their head off at you. Why? Why? You're denying, if NASA, as you claim, is all at fault for this, how in the world, if you say it's a big conspiracy from NASA, how in the world would thousands and thousands and thousands of people, wouldn't there be one somewhere that let it slip? And I haven't had a chance to do the research into it, but think about this for a moment. Do you think the Russians are part of what's going on here? Do you think Iran is part of our conspiracy? Do you believe the Chinese are part of the conspiracy? Ask the Russians what shape the earth is. They're the first ones they sent up the Sputnik back in the 50s. Ask the Russians what the shape of the earth is. Ask the Chinese what the shape of the earth is. Ask the Iranians what the shape is. And whoever else has been able to send up Great Britain, I'm not sure if they have or not, whoever has sent up something into the sky, ask them what the shape of the earth is. They're not part of NASA. All right. I've said it and I'm trying to help because I'm responsible and I see what it's doing to the church and I see what it's doing to people. And it's a shame. It shouldn't have to happen. A Johnny-come-lately trumped up something that came out of the cracks, and all of a sudden it's the rage, and everybody's jumping on board of the flat earth thing. Yes, ma'am.
Will you address the point on the topic since you're addressing it is inspiring? Because the part that bugs me about all of this debate is that they actually say that they're more spiritual. That if you read your Bible and God is
right. So what our sister is saying is that I'm sure not all of them are saying this. You can't just put them all together. But apparently many of them are saying that if we don't believe in the flat earth, we're not spiritual. And we don't read our Bible, obviously we're not right with God. That's the implication. Some of them have even gone so far as to say we're not saved if we don't believe in the flat earth. Is that not causing division, contention with people? Certainly it is.
Well, I thought it revealed to them that if you pray and you ask God to show you, he'll reveal you into
right.
In the Bible like he revealed it to them, like it's separate.
Right.
Not spiritual, never God came
right.
To us, what they showed
right.
Them.
Right. So, that's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad. That's a know-it-all attitude. But it has it's like hooking a fish. They get hooked into it and you can't talk to them. And they will absolutely just kick back on everything you try to say to them. One of the things that convinces me, and I'm convinced by a lot of things, but the one thing that absolutely convinces me is this Christian astronaut who spent over a year up there and all the photographs and all the videos that he made. Is this man a liar? He's not the only one. There's a number of Christian astronauts, not to mention the secular ones, that have taken photographs, their own videos, and so forth. They all liars. You know, I'd have a hard time if somebody looked me in the face and called me a liar. I have a tough time with that. It, you know, that takes some courage, because I wouldn't countenance somebody just looking me eye to eye and say I'm a liar. I'm not a liar. I take lying very seriously. I don't like lying. This business we're in right here, we better be telling the truth. Yes, sir.
I think one other thing that's important to note is that this theory did not originate in the church.
You're right, brother.
God, church people.
That's a good point.
What we need to consider is some of the scientists, which not all science is wrong.
Okay? Well, good man, no. Right. Right. Right.
But many of the scientists that disproved the flat earth hundreds of years ago were Christians. And we just got to think the idea that everything that comes from science, anything that comes from government is wrong, is not necessarily true.
That's true. I agree. Right. But it's an awful good point that he makes, that this did not originate in the church. It came from outside. It came from outside. And, you know, I know why I think it's happening. And I know God's not the author of confusion. He doesn't turn Christian against Christian. It doesn't work that way. He doesn't do that. Our fellowship ought to be in the gospel, and we should be pulling together now instead of separating over something like that. Such a shame. I hate it. I hate it. Once again, if you believe in flat earth, you don't have anywhere to go. You got no church to go to. And how would you know? There's no church I've ever seen that had "We believe in the flat earth" on it. So you got to go into that church. Are you going to go in there and try to convert people? Are you going to start division among the people? Are you going to turn them against each other? Don't do that. Please don't do that. Don't do that. A church that has worked and prayed and tried to serve God, and souls have been saved in it, and they have fellowship among themselves, and you go into that church and you start turning people against each other, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes before the Almighty. God's not pleased with that. But you're welcome to come to Temple Baptist Church. You're welcome to come. Just don't come in here and try to convert people and create contention and division among the body of Christ. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Father, in thy name I pray. Lord, I pray I've done something tonight that's worthwhile, said something worthwhile, because it needed to be said, Lord. I felt it in my soul. I've waited and waited and held off and held off. And tonight, Lord, I feel like I've done what you call me to do. I said what I feel like we needed to say. And I hope I did it in the right spirit. And I hope Heavenly Father to be received in that spirit. And I pray for those, Father, caught in this thing. Maybe they'll realize what a mistake they've made. Well, then they can come back. They can come back to church. They can come back. I pray this now in thy holy name. For Jesus' sake I ask it. Amen.